live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 198, getting closer to the number 200. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, are you ready for snow apocalypse?
Snow apocalypse 2022. Is it really a snow apocalypse, man, when we know it's coming? You know what I'm saying? As we live here in the heartland, in the Hoosier State. But nah, man, I'm ready just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Braced for impact. My refrigerator and freezers are stocked with food, and I got enough dry goods. I keep dry goods anyway, but I got enough dry goods. You know what I'm saying? To hunker down till next Wednesday or so. So right now, man, you know, just ready for the snow, ready for the poor inclement weather, and you know, and I'll be ready to. Talk about some great sports happenings that happened since last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got my glass of bourbon here tonight beside me to keep me warm as I'm looking out my window right now during our show. And I don't know if it was doing you. It was sleeting probably for a good hour here, and then it probably in the last 10 minutes switched over to complete snow. So it's coming your way, John.
I just try to, you know, saying not look out the window until I'm just ready. You know what I'm saying? I heard the weatherman say potentially anywhere between 4 feet and 8 feet of snow. And I'm like, 8 feet of snow? Are you serious? You know, even 4 feet, though. You know what I'm saying? So I got both my shovels ready. I know in the next few mornings or so, a bit of a way we go. But like I said, I'm ready to talk about sports, man.
We good. As JSD would say, it's definitely jacket off weather. By the way, before we get really going on this, is there anything worse than having a birthday in the middle of the winter and I'm going to be snowed in with all this snow? It's going to suck tomorrow. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's going to suck.
Yeah, potentially, man. Well, just know that Indiana weather changes like nobody's business. So, though I don't think that's the extended forecast. I think it's going to be even colder after the snow stops.
Yeah.
Right? So, let's hope just for a warm, you know what I'm saying, some type of, you know, curveball, Mother Nature curveball, where it warms up to like 30 and melts all this snow away, and you can get out and enjoy yourself.
Perfect. Well, I'll tell you what else is hot right now. Right now, the NFL is hot for several reasons. We've got our Super Bowl matchup set. We'll be talking a little bit of that, a little bit of a preview, recap the AFC-NFC Championship game talk. We'll talk a little preview for the NFL's Super Bowl next Sunday. We got a whole nother week to talk about it, so we'll talk about it. Yep. Well, news and notes from around the NFL, several happenings from the Tom Brady saga to interviews with Jim Harbaugh. Possibly we got Brian Flores, that drama out of Miami and New York and Denver. We've got all that more. Josh McDaniels back in the news. We got a damn team that's got a new name called the Commanders, which is going to be, I'll tell you later, John, but it's going to be one of the worst names ever because they're red. They're in Washington. People are going to call them Commies for short instead of Commanders. Hey, come on, Commies.
You
put two and two together, all right? It's going to be bad. We've got that. Yeah. We've got NBA talk, a little bit about how shitty the Pacers are playing continuously. Sabonis out with COVID, possible trade scenarios, a little bit of that. College basketball, huge, huge games last night, more games tonight. Boilermakers in action up at the barn tonight. We'll talk that and more. And we'll get a hot take from John, how he thought the Royal Rumble was complete trash, at least if I saw from your Twitter. So
yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was a six. So we'll talk. Let's dive on, John, NFL AFC championship game. Let's talk that game first, AFC title game. Kansas City, John, going into halftime, you're sitting with a 21-3 lead with about 8 seconds left. and you throw a pass that instead of going for the field goal to go up three scores, you decide to throw a pass short to Tyreek Hill that's not even close to the end zone. The clock runs out. You don't get a chance. Little you know, it dooms you. Bengals come roaring back in the second half. Bengals win 27-24. Very questionable play calling, I believe, late in the fourth quarter for Kansas City to possibly win, as well as their opening drive for overtime, which was just horrible play calls.
A lot of non-Kansas City Chiefs things there happened that particular game, especially in the second half. When we talk about the end of the first half, and Patrick Mahomes owned it after the game, he said he got greedy there. He said that wasn't the original play call. He thought that, saying they had enough time. And that's unfortunate, man, because from a Chiefs standpoint, because you can't leave points on the board in regular season. I get what analytics might say or tell these guys, but you can't, I get it. That's basically a kill shot, right? For lack of a better term, that's a kill shot if you get a touchdown, right? But you can't leave points on the board like that, So the greediness ultimately costs you in the end, you give a team like you give any team with elite quarterback play, and right now, Brandon, we're talking elite quarterback play with all these teams that are left, the final four, I even say the final six teams have elite quarterback play. If you talk about the last weekend as well, right? And I know somebody listening to my voice right now. You're saying Jimmy G's elite. And we'll get to that side in a second. I'll give Jimmy G elite quarterback play. He's a grade lower than, Patrick Mahomes and even Joe Burrow, But it's elite quarterback play, But again, the Chiefs lead points on the board, and then they do some un-Chiefs-like things in the second half. And particularly on Patrick Mahomes, like he Brandon, don't you remember? Like he had, I thought it was gonna be home calls. He had several times where he had like a nobody to throw to, he's elusive quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is, the Bengals defense didn't put a sack on him or anything like that. But like, don't you recall Patrick Mahomes that had the mobility to at least get you 4 yards, if not more? Again, we're not talking Lamar Jackson numbers when it comes to him being a running quarterback, but my goodness, man, it's like he kind of forgot, the position, his ability other than his arm, capability. So Brandon, the Chiefs defense only put one lick, meaning they pressured him, but they only put one sack on Joe Burrow, and that's the offensive line that's been averaging what 9 sacks against the Titans, and that's what they had, and then I think they had 4 in the week before that, Bengals played before that, so it's a very soft offensive line but they didn't do their due diligence either, but. I go back to the point that they left a whole lot of points. They left a whole lot of points on the board, and they did a lot of things that that uncharacteristically are out of that they don't do. The Chiefs didn't do. You give that many times, a mistake to another team. They make you pay. Joe Burrow, this is his ascension. He came up clutch. Though they don't have a great offensive line. I don't even think they really have a great defensive front. They do have some good secondary guys, because they do come up with turnovers. So again, they rally back from 18 points down. You can credit that to T. Higgins. He had 103 yards. You can credit that to Joe Mixon. He had 88 rushing. And then you can credit that also that to Jamar Chase, who got a touchdown. You can credit that to Perrine, who got a touchdown. So again, you give a team enough life, they'll come back on you, and that's what happened. And here you are, the Cincinnati Bengals haven't been to a Super Bowl in over 30-some odd years, and they are back, and this is their ascension.
Yeah. Future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes. John, you said about his running. I thought Patrick Mahomes, just based on the last couple of years, he's relied more on his legs, I felt like, this year instead of his throwing ability and his throwing skills, staying in the pocket. I think he's got rolled out more. And I think this might be the one year where he's gotten the most rushing yards. Like, he's more mobile on his feet, not trusting the arm. And it could be also because the defenses are picking that up and able to guard the defenders. But this Kansas City team, John, I don't feel like we've had a real true set on them all year long. They started out, what, 2-3, 2-4 to start. Then they went on a little bit of roll, and then they kind of started falling off.
I think they were worse than that.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
When they first started out, their biggest – So, again, they are offensively good enough to stay in games because they have him and they have other weapons. You know what I'm saying? They can get the job done offensively. Again, I've always said, if you ain't got – I say this all the time. If you ain't got quarterback, you ain't got nothing. And they got – he's definitely top 1, 2, 3, however you want to chop it up. He's top 1, 2, 3 in quarterback, you know what I'm saying, as far as quarterbacks are concerned. But defensively – I don't know if Andy Reid really thought about coaching defense this year. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it was. Go back into the Buffalo game, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? Enough to get the ball back and to score. You know what I'm saying? And that's the reason why they eliminated Buffalo. So I don't know. They gotta.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Andy Reid has said previously that all play calling, and people rip Andy Reid for his offensive, for a lot of things, and for this game, for the strategy, all that and everything, nonsense. Mm-hmm. But nobody blames, and Andy Reid says he doesn't do the play calling, that he lets it Eric Bieniemy do the play calling. So why hasn't Eric Bieniemy gotten as much grief about this offense as he should based on the play calling that they've had? Because obviously the play calling at the end of the half, at the end of regulation, the drive in overtime, that's all on him. I just think Andy's. I know the guy that's the top of it gets to hit the shit, but I mean, Bieniemy is the one calling the plays.
If Bieniemy calls the plays and Patrick Mahomes doesn't run said play, then whose fault is it? I'm not giving anybody. They lost as a team, but again, after the game, Mahomes says, "Well, I got greedy there." You see what I'm saying? And as far as the second half is concerned, did we see a whole hell of a lot from Kelce? No. Did we see a whole hell of a lot from anybody else, in the secondary? Again, Brandon, I get what you're saying as far as rushing, but, like, he didn't use his rushing ability in this game at all. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We've known him to be a runner, slider. You know what I'm saying? I've seen him get 4 yards no problem. And again, I go back to, like I said, he had a lot of protection to where, and again, I said the Cincinnati Bengals have a good secondary where they have guys covered. And if that's the case, then you need to take off, right? Not saying you take off like, you take off like I said, like Lamar or even Steve Young used to take off, but he had the ability to take off and it just didn't happen. So there's room, there's blame, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily finger pointing, but there's blame, you know what I'm saying, to go around. I just think, Patrick Mahomes kind of owned it, ultimately. And
yeah.
Hell, that was the play that we supposed to run, but hell, I ran my own play.
What's the thoughts on Hollywood Joe right now? This team, this Bengals team, just the way that
aren't they
are performing.
Aren't they like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think about what we said last year, and I chided you a little bit, and you kind of came around after about 6 or 7 games of this season. I said, the quarterback situation in the AFC North. I said, what are the Steelers going to do when they got the, you know what I'm saying? Did I say the second worst? I think I said the second worst quarterback in the division. But again, I was wrong. Because I thought Lamar was potentially the first, was number one. But as we can see, that's Joe Burrow. So they're ahead of the, their clock, right? And they were very fortunate. I don't like to say luck. They were very fortunate to get to this point. Think about the Tennessee game and the faux pas they did when they could have had a victory over Cincinnati. We wouldn't be talking about them. Think again and go back to this game against Kansas City. The faux pas of the Chiefs, self-inflicted wounds that they did. And again, if Kansas City take care of business, we're not talking about Joe Burrow. But here's the Bengals and Joe Burrow. But here's the thing, man. They had opportunity to put to wrap him up because Chiefs did get some pressure on him. They came away with one sack, but like, dude, he was out there elusive. Brandon, during times of the game, I thought I was watching Tom Brady and some of those great comebacks that he had. No, seriously. I think they are ahead of schedule just a little bit. Brandon, they got to fix their offensive line. Like, you can't have a quarterback that many hits through the course of the year. Okay? Now, I ain't even talking about in the playoffs. Through the course of the year, their quarterback hits on him. You think about Andrew Luck and his early retirement. You know what I mean? I think the Bengals' offensive line gave up the second most sacks, if not the first most sacks, all year. So they're going into a game, and I know we get to the other side here, saying they're going into a game against Von Miller, you know what I'm saying? And oh, my goodness, my God, the also plays for the defensive player of the year last year. I forget his name every time. Shame on me, Brandon. How can I be a sports analyst and can't remember guy's name? Aaron Donald, they're going against, and they're going to put licks on him. You know what I'm saying? I would say their defense is just as good as Tennessee. So if Tennessee was able to get 9, my goodness, they'll at least get 5. You know what I'm saying? They'll wrap him up and get him. You know what I mean?
And you said the same thing about Kansas City, and they couldn't.
Well, I thought they could, but we also have to remember that whatever opportunities you had during the regular season, they always will show their face, okay? So I would say through the course of this season, Kansas City's main biggest issue was defense. In the secondary, they gave up too many points, and, you know, saying they weren't able to put enough rush or pressure on any quarterback during the entirety of the season. So, again, all that came up to, you know what I'm saying, the offense wasn't playing as best as it could have been. And, you know what I'm saying, what ultimately did them in was, you know what I'm saying, with their Achilles from the rest, from the whole year, their defense. So, you have to like Cincinnati chances being at this point. They're taking it, it's a very serious, they're taking, you know what I'm saying, the moment by the horns. Not necessarily saying with a whole lot of luck or anything like that, but they're taking them on by the horns, and, you know what I'm saying, so be it. They have a good quarterback. They have a borderline, you know what I'm saying, come-up quarterback. You know what I'm saying? We can say he's good. We can say he's elite. And their defense, their secondary is you know, they get takeaways. You know what I mean? They have their moments, right? So you got to like what you see out of Cincinnati Bengals. You know, the offseason is going to be the offseason. But next week, I mean, yeah, just going to the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? We'll lose yourself. You got to take the moment. You know, that, you know, I don't want to start rapping Eminem, but hey, just lose yourself in the moment. And here they are. And I think, I mean, they're going to make the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Cincinnati Bengals, first time in a while. I saw the Icky Shuffle the other night still on the sideline. So, we'll see what happens. As Pac-Man Jones said, we don't need they were talking about the fans and stuff, Cleveland and Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and he says we don't need any of you guys cheering for us. We don't need any of that. So I'm like, okay then. All right, Bengals.
Pac-Man Jones? Wow.
Yeah. Pac-Man's still trying to be relevant. I think he got his ass knocked out last I remember in a fight, boxing fight. So anyways, let's flip the side. NFC Championship game, 49ers and Rams, Team of Destiny versus the San Francisco Treat, Jimmy G. Rams, I sent you a message. Are we nervous yet? Because it took a while for that Rams offense to kind of get going. Cooper caught 2 touchdowns. Rams made second half changes. Stafford, hell of a drive there, the last possession. for the Rams. Odell played well. That Rams defense stepped up, and Jimmy G had a Carson Wentz-like interception that was that was questionable. That was my dad. I mean, I'm going to send him a text real quick. That was very questionable. So the Rams knock off the 49ers. What'd you think, John?
Real, you know what I'm saying, from a defensive standpoint, hard-hitting game. You think about they. I saw Washington got laid out. He did. He backed up. Deebo Samuels got laid out for him. It was a scary hit. Rams snapped, you know what I'm saying, finally snapped a 6-game, you know what I'm saying, a 6-game losing streak to the 49ers or, you know what I'm saying, a Kyle Shanahan-led team. The defense for the 49ers was there, you know what I'm saying, for their team in the first half. They wasn't there for them in the second half. And then they, you know what I'm saying, the Rams made Jimmy G, try to win it. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, it came to that moment that we all, like, hold our breath for it. And all the smart fans know, man, Jimmy G's going to do something not incredible. He's going to do something terrible. And that's what exactly happened, man. On the very last play, he tried to, you know what I'm saying, not get sacked and lose yardage. Because then I get it, what he's thinking in his mind. You're pushing yourself in even poor position to get a first down. They didn't have any timeout during that time. But I don't know. I hate talking off, off-season plans for the 49ers. Who else is their wideout, Brandon? That's of note. You know what I'm saying? You can't really name a guy. There's some guys on the team. But who I'm talking about the 49ers. Who's really their wideout? Who's really the weapons that he's going to?
Debo, that's the way too. Brandon Ayuk.
I know the answer. As the homie Mike Kelly said, the 49ers led up in the second half. So the Rams, they put enough pressure on Stafford during the. I mean, he looked like Detroit's Matt Stafford in portions of this game. He only had like 140 yards, I do believe. His main guy is Cooper Kupp. Now that's the Rams savior right there, because the 49ers had even their rushing game stifled. Sony Michel only ran for 44 yards. I think Cam Akers only ran for 30. Now thankfully for them, nobody had a fumble this week. But real hard hitting game that ultimately, they had a quarterback that could finish, and that's what happened with Stafford. Doesn't want to let this team down. He knows what he has. I'm not saying he embraced the pressure, but he has embraced what he has in the moment. As I kind of said about the Bengals, you're on a better squad. You know what I'm saying? Defensively, you got Jalen Ramsey out there. You know what I'm saying? In the secondary, you got a great defense. The Rams have a great defense to themselves. So again, man, he's got a great wideout to compliment in Kupp and Odell. So they put him in position and he made the throws, and there you go. They win. They're the team of destiny, Brandon.
That's what we've called them. You coined them team of destiny a while back.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, and here's the thing, John. I think it's great. You've got two teams, as we're going to go now to a little bit of a preview for the Super Bowl. You've got two teams that have legitimately gotten to the Super Bowl two totally opposite ways. One team went through the draft, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Mixon, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow. The other team bought their players, basically, to get to where they're at now. So you got two different teams, a clash of two different eras. The coaches, a call from the same family tree in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to see which team's going to end up in the end. I think it's played in the Rams' home field at SoFi Stadium, which bodes well next year for the Cardinals since it's in Glendale. If you think about it, I'm looking forward to the game, John. Right now the Rams are 4.5-point favorites in this game. As much as they're 4.5-point favorites, if that gets to 5, I'm going to have to probably take the Bengals plus the 5, even though I think the Rams are going to win. I'm going to take the Rams to win, but if that gets the plus 5, I may have to take the Bengals spread because I think it's going to be a closer game than 5. I really do.
Really? I need to see like opponents and see what – I don't think they play – because I'm pretty sure the Rams they didn't play, and the Rams and the Bengals didn't play this year. So I need to see what they did against common opponents and how they fared. That'll kind of tell me. I'll share some of my thoughts of that on my socials, you know what I'm saying, Three Foolish Men on Twitter or on my Facebook page, you know what I'm saying. I know we got listeners, you know what I'm saying, Bengals listeners right now. I think this is the Rams' time. I jokingly gave them the Team of Destiny name even 2 years ago when they had, you know, said Jared Goff and like I said, a different offensive group there. But, like, this really is the Team of Destiny. I mean, how could you lose a home game, essentially a home game, on your own field? You get a week in between or 2 weeks in between, week, you know, say 2 weeks in between the championship games, and you know that particular team's strength. I mean, they know yours and weakness, and they know yours too. But I'm picking on the offensive line of the Cincinnati Bengals. If they can't protect, and I don't think they can. If the Rams just get 3 sacks. Let's just say 3 sacks. You know what I'm saying? Joe Burrow is on the rise. He's that dude. I like the wideouts here in this on this particular team. You know what I'm saying? The wideout weapons that he has on this particular team. Defensively, do they have enough to keep Stafford honest, or do they have enough to keep Stafford under? You know what I'm saying? Under like can they mimic what the 49ers did to Matt Stafford? And that's where I say no. So again, I kind of like the Rams to win this game, not by a blowout type of thing, but yeah, like 10 points.
Let me give you some stats. The Rams this year against the spread are 10-10. So in their 20 games, they're 10-10, 500 against the spread. The Bengals are 13-7 against the spread. The Bengals have been underdogs by what the spread is now currently 4.5 points. More than 3 times this year already, and they're 3-0 in the against the spreads. So they've covered those spreads 3 other times this year. Bengals are averaging 27 points a game. That's 5.5 more points than what the Rams surrender, give up each week, 21. Let's see. We've got the Bengals are averaging about 16.5 more yards per game than what the Rams give up. So 361 to 344. I think these two teams are a lot more similar than they may appear if you look it down and break down the stats. Let me ask you this, John, and you can give me just a couple words because I've got a list here I want to run down. You're going to tell me who you would take. Who has the advantage / who would you take in this section, okay? Let me run it down for you, and I'll give you mine. Quarterback, Stafford or Burrow in this game?
In this game, Stafford.
I'll take Stafford as well. Cam Akers or Joe Mixon? I'm taking Mixon. Yep.
Yep.
Cooper Kupp or Jamar Chase?
Oh, man. Come on, man. Cooper
Kupp. Hey, these are
no disrespect. It's no disrespect, man, but yeah, Cooper Kupp.
The first thing, easy. This is a hard one. Wide receiver ones, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase. Mike Kelly, put on who you'd take as well.
I said Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp. I'm going to take Jamar Chase.
Okay.
I think his speed, listen, and Cooper Kupp is the most amazing wide receiver this year, hands down. Should be MVP candidate and everything. Jamar Chase, though, he can lightning in a bottle, one play, boom, score like crazy. I know Cooper Kupp can do that as well, but the jumping ability, the leaping ability, the sprinting ability of Jamar Chase, all it takes is one play for them. Mm-hmm. Just it's slight, but if I had to pick one, I'll take him. Odell Beckham or T. Higgins?
Now, Odell Beckham, I know you said give me one answer. Odell Beckham has had a rebirth here with the Rams, but not to the tune with Higgins. The stats he put up on the other side. So I'm gonna go with Higgins.
Okay. Matt Gay or McPherson?
Oh, McPherson, for sure.
Okay. Rams defense or Bengals defense?
The Rams defense.
And McVay or Mac Taylor?
Ooh, McVay.
Okay. Mike Kelly says Higgins, Evan. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, it's tough. A Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase one. I saw somebody talk about that. They were going through it a couple days ago, and I'm like, my God, I kept stewing over that one. Like, who would it take if I had to take it? What else do I have for the Super Bowl? We'll dive more into it next week. We'll have Tanner on next week, preview the Super Bowl as well with us. We're going to talk bets, prop bets, tons of prop bets. We're going to dive right into those and give you some different ways you can make some money. Historically, the last 4 years, I've done pretty well with my bets during the Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens. Also, Tucker, my dog, he's 1-1 on picks, John, the last 2 years for Super Bowls. So we'll see who he's 1-1. Last year, he took the Chiefs his first year because I put Treats on two different logos to see which one he goes to first. First year, he picked the Chiefs. They won. Last year, he went with the Chiefs again over the Bucks. Obviously, that loss. So he's 1-1. We'll see what he does year three for the Super Bowl. So that'll be up on our Crossroads site as well next week as we put the picks up there. I won't exactly ask you for your pick now. We're going to give it another week. Next Wednesday night, we will do our official Crossroads Sports picks, and they'll also be up on the website. Nice fancy graphic for that and everything. So we'll do that. John, I want to switch gears from the awesome talk of the Super Bowl, everything we have with that. Sorry, as I'm switching logos here. I want to dive into the other big news in the NFL that broke today. Today and last night. Brian Flores, John. NFL sues the NFL, the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Broncos for discrimination. There's evidence of Bill Belichick texting the wrong Brian, saying he got the job when Flores hasn't even done the interview yet. The Broncos, he's alleging the Broncos management was 3 hours late to his interview. The Dolphins, which I think is even more, they're all very important, but the one that hurts the integrity of the league, I believe, is the fact that an owner is offering to pay you $100,000 per game to throw the game and lose to help improve yourself for a draft pick. And then also the courting of Tom Brady, trying to go out and court Tom Brady on a yacht when it was tampering violations possible. Brian Flores had integrity, said that, hey, I'm not going to do this, yada, yada, yada. He had a winning season. He got fired. He was one game below 500. We thought it was a head scratcher when he got fired. I know we talked about it. It was a head scratcher. All this has come out now, John, and I've seen everybody talking about the discrimination. I've heard both sides of it. Some people say, well, he's going all over national TV right now, but he's not being very articulate to explain his side to make it like to vow himself for the next job. I put on Twitter that, you know, I tip my hat to him because he's standing for a cause. He knows he may not get another head coaching position, which is wrong to begin with. But
right.
I'm very interested on your point, obviously being an African-American male. I'm interested on your point of it, but as well, and I'll finish my statement, is, you know, with the New York Giants gig, even if they say they had their candidate, okay, and you went through the interview and you think you don't have a chance, it's not always the case. Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, and it's been brought up by everybody. Mike Tomlin got the interview. He was the very last interview. Russ Grimm was going to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin was the very last interview, came in and just wowed him. And then obviously now Mike Tomlin's head coach of the Steelers for 15 years now. Also, Mike Tomlin, crazy it is now. Mike Tomlin, the only African-American head coach in the National Football League right now. So, John, a lot to unpack here.
A lot.
What are your thoughts? I guess let's first dive in to the interview thing with the discrimination there, and then let's talk about the possible forfeiture of games and trying to suck the
Right, Brandon. So what was weird was the fact that he was getting an interview, or, you know what I'm saying, we get everybody listen, we're going to pull back the show curtain real quick. Me and Brandon get all kind of, you know what I'm saying, informational buzzes before, even like when Schefter gets them, you know what I'm saying, at the same time with Adam Schefter, you know what I'm saying, this guy's interviewing for this, and, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of our jobs to, you know what I'm saying, spread that information, maybe put our own little, you know what I'm saying, thoughts onto it, you know what I'm saying, and away you go. So that you know what I'm saying, Brian Flores' name has come up, being interviewed by the New York Giants, being interviewed potentially by the Chicago Bears, being interviewed potentially by the New Orleans Saints. All these guys, all these, you know what I'm saying, high profile jobs, coaching jobs were you know what I'm saying, asking him to be interviewed. And I kind of just thought it was kind of weird, man. Like, you know, okay, all right, but like that many, you know what I mean? Like, are they just doing this? It almost sounded like they were trying to make him a token, for lack of better word. So, Brandon, we can't figure, you know what I'm saying, why, you know what I'm saying, right now, you know what I'm saying. Last year we were talking about Rooney Rule. We were, you know what I'm saying. But we can't, I mean, you would think that after all the drama that the NFL has sustained with Colin Kaepernick, when all the drama in the NFL has sustained with, you know, the not letting, you know what I'm saying, Airbnb last two seasons, not getting interviews or not getting chances for jobs, right? You know what I'm saying? There's data to show that, hell, even back to Caldwell, you know what I'm saying? He had a winning season. He had how many winning seasons? I think at least two in Detroit. I get they flamed out. But he got fired with a winning, you know what I'm saying, with a winning season next to his name. You know? So there's data to show that, you know, so African American coaches do not, even with winning seasons, do not get the, you know what I'm saying, a second chance or you know what I'm saying, even the second thought about, well, get rid of this guy and bring somebody else in, right? That's kind of what it is right now.
Is that an NFL problem, or is that a NFL owner's problem? Because you look
at NFL owners. Go ahead, Brandon.
I was gonna say, because you look at the Steelers. I mean, Mike Tomlin's been there for how many years? But that's their organization there. That's where I'm questioning: is it more of an NFL problem? Because I don't know who gets more. Let me ask you this: you can answer. Does the NFL have a racism program? A problem? These are the questions. Hey, we're going to ask on our show, and we can have great dialogue with us and our people.
They got an issue. They have an issue. I can't fully on say that yes or no, Brandon. But they do have an issue where guys aren't candidates, regardless whether they're black, white. I mean, I know Asian, you know what I'm saying, offensive coordinators are probably who want a gig, you know what I'm saying, head coach gig, and they're not, nobody's looking at them, you know, for whatever reason. But I can't sit up here and say that they have all blatantly, right? Now, covertly, you know what I'm saying? You know, there's a conspiracy theories about Colin Kaepernick, and did teams conspire to not, you know what I'm saying, or did other teams look the other way and didn't want to get involved, that type of thing, you know what I mean? But I can't say blatantly that there is a, we're not gonna hire a black guy, you know what I'm saying? Because let's look at it. I mean, Ron Rivera is in the minority. He's Puerto Rican and Hispanic, you know, and same thing, Bert. So he's Puerto Rican. He's of Puerto Rican descent. And I, you know what I'm saying, but he's a minority. There's women on now, you know what I'm saying, in assistant roles and whatnot. And Brandon, I'm giving the NFL a bone here. There are also black general managers and vice presidents of organizations. But that person that leads the team every Sunday or Saturday sometimes, for more often than not, for 30 some odd teams in this league, is not black. And that's kind of bogus. It's weird and bogus at the same time, right? So sounds well, right. I get it. Go ahead.
And then that's the thing, but I will also say there may not be as many, and I don't know how to word this. Maybe I don't feel like there's enough options / opportunities for black male / black female to own a team, NFL
okay.
team, EA
right,
team.
Right.
You mean,
right.
I don't think those opportunities are there for them, or I don't know. It's. I also feel like the Rooney Rule has done more harm than good. Like if we didn't have the Rooney Rule, that I feel like we're saying, hey, now we're forcing this down your neck that you must approve and show that you're interviewing minorities and all this. And this is what we get for it now is that, well, hey, we did it, but you know what? It's more like a force to. I feel like teams may or may not do it. It's like, hey, look, I'm breaking the law right now. Like, you know?
Right. But the rules set in place because back
I know.
The rules set in place prior to, they was not allowed. You mean black players was only looked at as players, and
right.
that was it. So the rule was set in place. So I get the and it might be antiquated. Somebody can say, it maybe needs to be updated or something. I think the rules will be changed going further. I think what we have – so let me reel it back in real quick, Brandon, to deal with Flores' situation, right? I think we have a strong black male who, if he's to be believed, they want an owner – then let's go shift into that gear, Brandon. An owner wanted him to throw games to get higher draft picks. That's unacceptable. That should be unacceptable universally to everybody. Whether you split on the Rooney Rule, whether you split on if they gave Flores a raw deal or not. Okay? If Stephen Ross is telling this dude to throw games, he's going to give him $100,000 to throw games as a sports bettor, you should be pissed. As a taxpayer in Dade County, Miami County, you should be pissed. As the NFL watcher, watching your team go against the Miami Dolphins or whomever, you should be pissed. Because NFL teams are bankrolled by not only by owners, but also by taxpayer money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
there's a hotel and restaurant tax right now that helps pay for all the facilities they have that the Colts play in downtown. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the same thing works around you know what I'm saying, around the league. So
sports,
that's all that betting, is unacceptable. Go ahead.
Right. In sports betting, we got a couple calls we need to take. In sports
okay.
betting, yeah, absolutely. I'm pissed the fact that, you know, what kind of lawsuit would you get from that if you can find a way to prove it and then that he was really offering that money? Like, damn, I want to recoup all these losses. That he had.
Brandon, why did he get fired? So we because
he fought with the owner, and that's what the owner felt like, that this was why I'm going to do it. But tanking
right.
happens all the time. It's just now that this is an opportunity where it's up front. Mark Cuban did it a couple years ago when they said, hey, how did you guys do it back in the day? Well, we tanked. And then Dan Patrick asked him, well, how'd you do it? He goes, we just played all our young guys. That cost him $500,000 right there. From the NBA,
it should have cost
ago.
More.
It should have,
yeah,
absolutely.
It should have cost more, right.
But as
right.
long as it's
available. If Dave Stern was alive, he would have tripled it.
Right. All right, let's take a couple calls real quick.
Awesome.
Crossroads Sports Radio, who we got?
What's going on, fellas? It's Mike Kelly. What's going on?
It's
Kelly.
Oh, wow.
Long time, first
yeah.
time.
Yeah, something like that. You guys need to be careful out here. It's a lot of first-time drivers that have been living here their whole life, and they're driving like they just got their license yesterday. So I wanted to get that out the way. But I know there was a gap in there. You guys were still talking. But, you know, I wanted to touch on the issue with the race. I you guys both brought up valid points, but you have to look at it like for what it is. You asked one question you asked, and I apologize for backtracking because like I said, I know you guys moved on, but you said one thing which you asked, do you think it's the NFL problem with the owners or is it an NFL team? It's both. Because if I'm an owner and this is my establishment, that's like, is it the left-handed problem or is it the right-handed problem? You're both attached to the same body. So you can't have one, you know what I mean? If everything happens, it says NFL, NFL owners, NFL
right.
teams, NFL. It still has the word NFL. It has the letters NFL involved in it. So you can't say, well, it's this problem. That's what you do when you don't want to accept responsibility. You deflate and you take this, oh, well, it's this over here. Well, we're doing this and we're doing that. Like you said, with Flores having all the job open, how do we even know that they was even going to consider him at all? He could have just been doing that just to, you know, just to take the stuff off, you know, the heat, the smoke, whatever
right.
you want to call it.
Right.
Some things on that, it does exist. It exists in a lot of different things. When you look at the other sporting groups and, you know, the other organizations, the NBA, the Major League, the NHL, I mean, it does exist. We see it day in and day out. It's hard to say. I mean, they are the hard question, but the question is so old and you get tired of the rhetoric. It is what it is. And then when somebody comes along like Flores, they're not going to take the heat on that. They're going to, that's why I typed in hush money and court talk, because there's certain things that he's going to say to the media that his legal counsel is like, now, come on now. If I say everything out in the open, he said enough. He said that he was going to file. He don't need to say much else. You know
right.
what I mean? There's not much else to say. That there's a lot leaked out because in the internet age, everything is, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to know everything yesterday. Nobody wants to, you
right.
know what I mean? Oh, I got to know everything he's going to say. We're not in the legality. So he can only say so much anyway.
Right.
I guarantee
right.
you there's probably a lot more that he can say and that has happened. We just don't know, you know. But
Mike, do you think he's done career suicide?
Well, you know, I wouldn't call it. I mean, that would be saying it in that respect. I would say yes. But like you said, Brandon, when you were saying, you know, he knows he's going to the job. But if you look back at the sacrifices, we're talking about race. If you look at all the – somebody has to fall on the blade. Somebody has to be the whistleblower. Get any progress, if you look at anything that's done – for any kind of anybody's rights, someone had to take the torch. Someone had to make the first step. You know, the thing about this is, if you say it, because career suicide would mean you would never coach again. Do I think he's going to get some money? Well, what is that worth to you? What? How much money is that? How something that you're doing that you've always wanted to do? I mean, he reminded me of what was the coach that with Cleveland, and they got him out of LeBron got him out of there, and they was in the middle of a winning season, but that was a different thing. You wanted somebody else in there, but so winning don't mean nothing. If they want your tail up out of there, you on the first thing smoking. Well, no matter the reason, it doesn't matter. There is no rhyme or reason. Because we're just the fans.
I thought they, and you know, CBS Morning News asked him this morning, and I was watching that. And, you know, he asked, do you consider yourself a martyr? You know, that, hey, I'm making it, it may not be best for me in my situation, but I'm standing up, I'm making a point. And he said, no. He goes, I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do with my life.
Yeah, he's an individual.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have to watch. You have to watch when they throw words around, okay? You talking about martyr. How is he a martyr? His life isn't in danger.
Right.
Nobody firebombed his house. His
right.
kids, ain't nobody
right.
throwing rocks at his kids. He's just getting his due. He's right. I'm glad that he answered that. I didn't watch it, but I saw the comment. I did see that early afternoon. He did it right, but people throw words, and they throw words around to get sound bites, to get attention, to get everything
right.
except the truth. You know what I mean? You're doing everything except for what you. I need to know the truth of the matter. That man is doing it in all fairness. It would be just like any other discriminatory act, whether it be women, whether it be gender, whatever. It just so happened that, I mean, they could care less, man. They'll give him his money, and that's why I put down about the hush money. They'll give him his money, and unfortunately, that's just, I mean, they make a lot of money. Look at the stuff that they've done. You carried on. They carried on for just the little things. To me, I mean, you got to have diversity in the league. You just have to. How can you? Everybody's not going to grow up to be a wide receiver or you need to have diversity in all facets of the profession.
Right.
You don't know. Somebody may grow up to be. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are, or you know what I mean? I know you both, and you guys are very analytical and you know a lot about it, but you both, you have people to look up. That's your passion. Nobody told either one of you that you have to have somebody, well, I think I can do this. So that's the biggest thing is to have diversity. That's why you have it. That's why you have diversity. That's why the word itself is created. Now, I don't have the dictionary in front of me, but. You know, that's why you have diversity. You know what I mean? That's why you have it. You know, the root word is diverse. That means spread out, you know, inclusion. If you have just one entity and you got everything else, well, that says a lot. You know, that says a whole lot about a lot of different things. I mean, but on that, it's an unfortunate situation, but, man, it's almost coming up like clockwork. I hate to say it like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just it's unfortunate, you know what I mean? And and I wanted to add another thing. I'm very biased when it comes to my Bengals. So
yeah,
I will say this. That's the only team I've ever liked. You know what I mean? Riverfront, carrying newspapers, going to Reds games, Bengals games.
Brandon Reeve.
That's all
I've
I know.
Mike, Brandon Reeve. I've known Mike Kelly. As long as I've almost known you, I probably longer, right? And what he's saying is true. So he does cheer for local, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you where Mike Kelly live at. Either like that, anything like that. But he does cheer for local, you know what I'm saying, sports. But he's always cheered for the Bengals ever since, you know what I'm saying, the Marvin Lewis era Bengals.
Man, I'm going to go back further than that, dude. I met Marvin Lewis at the grocery store. I got family in Cincinnati. I've been going out. It's deep. So I, you know, it is what it is. But I feel like if the Rams have a chance to be, I was going to say St. Louis. If they have a chance to do that, you can't go to Cup like that. You can't. You got to spread the ball around.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
And both of you said, I mean, the defense is, you got Vaughn and you got Don. Yeah, that's it. But hey, which Stafford is going to show up? We already know which Joe Burrows is going to show up because you didn't even think he was going to be there. So we already know. So which Stafford are we going to see? We going to see Detroit Stafford or are we going to see the Rams Stafford? Which one are we going to see?
I agree. I'm pulling for you just because – hey, I know the trouble you guys have been through for all those years with me being a Steelers fan and all. So I give you guys props this year. I hope you guys go knock it out of the park.
Hey, man, I hope we do because it's great for the city, man. I couldn't figure out if Marvin Lewis had some pictures of somebody. I think I said something to Birdsong about. I'm like, man, I don't know if he got pictures of somebody or. Man, I wish they let him get.
Yeah, something.
You know,
they never would get rid of Marvin Lewis.
Him and Carson.
Man, he got pitches to somebody.
Him and Andy Dalton.
Somebody.
Sick.
What'd you say?
I said him and Andy Dalton are both just sick to their stomachs.
Man, Andy was good until they put that money in his account. Then he started going for the other team. I mean, Andy was good until they, but that's a lot of them that are like that. I don't take nothing from them guys. They did what they did, but now because if we think about what's done already happened, you can't focus on what's gonna happen. They did what they did, and it's over. I'm glad that this is going on. They've already spread them. They've invested. They drafted some guys. so they can spread the money around a little bit. We might be holding on to something because AFC is in disarray for the most part.
Yeah, you got great cap money next year as well. Two questions then, Donya.
Yes, sir.
Number one is what will it take, in your opinion, for Cincinnati to walk away with a win next Monday? And secondly, how serious of a problem is it for the NFL if an owner is trying to pay his coach to lose games in the game?
What was the second question again?
The second question was, John, I think I'm hearing music from you, John. I think.
No, it's me. I'm in Sam's Club, man. I just have to walk past. Remind me of Best Buy.
The second question was, how big of a problem does the NFL have the fact that there's a report that Stephen Ross is trying to pay $100,000 to a coach to purposely lose games? How big of a problem now is that going to be into light? Because obviously we talked about the gambling issues and all that, but just the integrity of the game.
So I will take that back. This reminds me of when they got on Sean Payton about the bounty thing. So that's just what we know. You know what I'm saying? That's just what we know. That's $100,000. We don't know if a lot of these teams, like you guys was just talking about earlier about before our call, there's a lot of – think about the things that happen and you don't know – you understand what I'm saying? These are things that they look like they're coincidental. I mean, I don't think it's going to mess with integrity because they're not going to let it get out that long. That's what I meant about the hush money. Same thing as Flores. They're not going to let it fester long enough for it to even be a problem.
Right.
Just like the Sean Payton thing. You know, 1 minute. I mean, we talked about it for a couple seasons. I mean, he was like slept rock for a minute. He had the cloud open for a minute, but then we didn't talk about it no more. So. That's how things work, man. You know, we have a short attention span, our fans. We have a short attention. The only time that things last a long time is when people get like voted in the Hall of Fame, like baseball. I'm not even going to get into that. But that's when our memory gets super sharp. But other than that, we have a short attention span. I mean, how many people was wrapped up in whether Brady was going to retire? You have two teams. You have two teams that wasn't even supposed to be in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But everybody talking about Brady, man, let that dude go. I really not because I'm a Bengals fan, but I could care less.
Bye, Tom Brady.
You know. Yeah, all right, Tom yeah. Bye, Tom Brady. See you. When you leave, you still here? Because, I mean, there's nothing else for you to do. That's almost like the guy, that's almost like the kid that we've all played video games. That's like the kid that's way better than everybody else, but you don't give nobody else a turn. Man, get out of here. You know what I mean? You done what you can do. Let the other people, you're in here like LeBron. You keep hanging around here. Whose kids are you trying to play against when you keep hanging around here? Get out of here. Get out of here. Beat it. Go on ahead and go. I hate to quote Tupac, but he felt death around the corner. Man, these young studs don't care nothing about Tom Brady. They couldn't wait to light him up. They couldn't wait.
Right.
But. Right. And your first question, what will it take? I think so there's a stat, there's something that you can't measure, and it's not a stat, and that's heart. I'm not going to say that the Rams don't belong there, but I don't want to say that to any Rams fans. I'm not saying that. But come on, man, it's not like the Rams clearly outplayed San Fran. San Fran was the better team on paper. They just let up.
Right.
So the Rams haven't really you're not a clear favorite like that. They're saying the people start talking about they're at home and all that. That's just like people making excuses for teams that don't play outdoors. That doesn't mean as much no more. You know what I'm saying? So they're the heart of the team, you know, the Cincinnati has a lot of heart. The defense is better, but I still focus on because their defense scrambles, dude. If you can slow up Patrick Mahomes, then Stafford is no problem.
They covered well. I said that in the first segment. They covered well.
On the line, dude. They were doing it on the line in third. And come on, man. They were doing it on the line, and they continuously did it over and over. They didn't do it once. They didn't do it twice. So that's something that the Rams have to be ready for. And as much as Zach tries to play that off, dude, I literally feel like I'm at Best Buy, man. Why is everybody in here coming while I'm standing and talking?
Tomorrow's the snowpocalypse in the Circle City, man. Mike,
Mike, we gotta
we at the top of the hour, man. We gotta run some commercial time, man. But hey, listen, do not Don't let it be this long next time you call in, man. I know you're busy, but you're never too busy to catch up with us, man.
You know what? I just enjoy it. You know why I don't? Because a lot of times, because I leave early out on my route. So that's why I listen to you guys. And I mean, man, you guys keep up the great work. Like I said, I know you both. You're not opinionated. So some of the big ones do that. So I can appreciate that you guys. You know what I mean? And I know you guys are both solid. And I keep up on a lot of stuff with you guys because during the daytime, I can't, you know, there's a couple of guys that I can't stand listening to too long. So one of them used to be at IU, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, man.
And my mother loves that dude, man. She loves him to death.
Well, she needs to turn over and listen to us.
She does.
Okay.
Yep. But, hey, man, you guys hang in there, take it easy, and be safe. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, John. Michael Kelly, good friend of the program, Facebook guy, guy we used to work with, great guy overall. We're going to hit a quick ad read, hit our ads. Reggie Sykes, brother, I see you on hold. I will bring you on when we come back from our ads.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Yes, folks, I said it, worldwide. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. They do custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels, and more. They carry all the top brands and much, much more. Check them out today. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or check them out online, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
And we also want to say a thank you to our next sponsor, Wiseman Logistics. That's Wiseman Logistics. They're your Amazon delivery partner. Their team is dedicated to the successful deliveries of your package. Services are available for your delivery packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can hit them up online at wisemanlogistics.com or dial them at 1-877-744-6212. That's 1-877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right. We are back. Reggie Sykes, my guy. Thank you for holding. How are you?
What's up, fellas, man? What's up, fellas? I decided to take a snow day. I'm not going to work today. And I'm going to sit here and, you know, eat this snowstorm out here. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
But Mike Kelly has a lot of good points. Other than being a Bengals fan, first, let's go back to the race. The NFL has an issue. Not just the owners. The NFL has an issue, and part of the issue is how are you going to investigate Aaron Footballs? How are you going to investigate other stuff, but you're not going to investigate this claim? First of all, the betting community is not happy that he's going to pay a coach $100,000 to throw a game. You know,
right.
That's just unethical. I never want my team to tank. I just don't think it's, you know, I'm with the Pacers. I'm a 23-game package. And I was kind of glad that the Simon said that they wasn't tanking, you know. I mean, if you're going to try to trade some players or something, okay, go ahead, go. Try to create a winner, and I understand that. But just to tank or to pay a coach to tank is just totally wrong, and it affects a lot of things other than just your team getting the number one draft pick, you know. So you had the issue with Colin Kaepernick. You had the issue with Robert Kraft saying what he said, you know, different players. What was the saying? You're going to let the prisoners run the asylum? I'm not sure if it was Kraft or whoever said that. So you have an image problem that you need to correct because it's getting bad with people it's getting bad with the image of the NFL. Yeah, your ratings are great. You're doing great right now and everything. You have an Andy rule, which I think is a perfect rule. Not perfect. I think it's a good rule. I think it just needs to be fixed a little bit, adjusted a little bit. Things over time need to be adjusted. The civil rights legislation needs to be adjusted. I'm not saying that there needs to be 50% head coaches in the NFL. I'm not African-American head coach in the NFL. I'm not saying that. But there needs to be some kind of balance. You know, why are you going to interview me after the fact? You know, you already know who you hired. You're going to interview me after the fact? And Bill Belichick accidentally left that out? How are you going to interview me for that position after the fact? After the fact. I just think that's just bad publicity that you're not going to even investigate what's going on with that. Now, I will say this. I went to the Pacers game with that Daryl Cott, that Todd guy the other day, and he got on my nerves, and I was thinking I should have sold my tickets. But I really do like how these young guys are playing and the effort that they're putting in. And the fans appreciated the effort that the young guys are putting forth. And I think they're really trying hard. I didn't know who Taylor was, but I'm impressed with his hustle. I'm impressed with all the young guys, rookies. So if you're going to build, you build with them. Maybe you can trade a Lamb. Maybe next year you can trade a Brogdon. Maybe we can get lucky enough to get Jaden Ivey. You know, there's a lot that the Pacers, I think, they can do. I mean, trading Turner, trading Sabonis. If you're going to trade it, go ahead and go with these young guys because to me it seems like these young guys are hungry. And the one game when Michael Brogdon did come back and LeVert, it seems like they were trying to feed the post to do better, you know. Seemed like they were actually trying to make the pass instead of letting scoring be their first option, which I thought was great. But I think Mike is confused because he was talking about Stafford. Stafford was in Detroit, and he was still putting up numbers, you know. Stafford was putting up great numbers, you know.
He's talking about the
loser. L.A. is all in to win the Super Bowl. They are supposed to be there. I mean, the trades that they're made, the picks they gave up to get Stafford and everything, they're all in for the Super Bowl this year. If they don't succeed, it's just making it is not good enough. You know, Bengals fans that are trolling me on Facebook are getting on my nerves, you know. I told them, Icky Woods ain't coming back to save you. Icky Shuffle ain't going to save you. Yeah, I like Joe Burrow, and I hate LSU. And I like Chase. They're good upcoming players. That's what some of these NFL teams that are left have. Now, the Bengals wasn't supposed to beat Kansas City. I put money on Kansas City because I didn't think the Bengals could do it twice. But I was impressed with their Burley win. You know, he said that the Rams barely won against San Francisco. Look what the Colts did to San Francisco. San Francisco wasn't supposed to be there. I don't care. And I like Michael Kelly. That's my guy. I love Michael Kelly. But in this point, Michael Kelly is totally wrong.
Oh,
I'm going to call it here right now. Rams, and I'm saying that because I can't go for the Bengals because this troll is getting on my dang nerves. I'm going to say that the Rams will win this 30-24, and the Bengals are going to have the ball last, but they're not going to be able to score.
Wow. Okay. Interesting, for sure.
Hey, by the way, you talked about Daryl Cott. He's still alive?
Daryl?
Can you hear me? Reggie?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose
John?
We can hear Reggie.
We can hear him.
I can't hear you.
I can hear you on my Facebook page. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, man.
Okay, Well, hold on. Don't worry about it. I'm hearing you on my Facebook page. I got my Facebook page up, so I'm hearing the conversation, so it's all good. But
okay.
I'm going to let y'all go. Those are my points. I just can't find myself cheering for the Bengals because their fans are starting to become arrogant. Chumps. I wouldn't mind seeing Stafford actually get this ring. Y'all be safe on them streets, fellas, and I'll talk to y'all later.
Thanks, Reg.
Reggie tight.
King of trolls. And I think I can use this soundbite for him, too.
Guys are idiots. And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
Dan Dockers loves me. You know, Dan Dockers loves me.
You guys haven't been going at it in the last week. I was expecting a little more fire, but Dan was under his own fire.
Yeah, he didn't need me, you know what I'm saying, bothering
him.
He had his whole state after his ass, so good luck with that.
Let's switch gears, John. We can definitely talk about this more with the Brian Flores thing. We could talk blue in the face. We'll continue to talk. But news of the week. It officially was released yesterday. Tom Brady officially retired, John, from Tampa. Put out a 6-page swipe on Instagram thanking everybody in Tampa and pissed off everybody in New England for some ungod-known reason. But we've got a 15-time Pro Bowler. We've got a 3-time All-Pro, 5-time NFL MVP, 6-time Super Bowl champ, yada, yada, yada. Most wins, most passing yards, most passing touchdowns, John. I know you hate to use the word with him, man, but he's got to be the goat or the boat, you name it.
Who are we talking
and this,
about?
I will say this. Sorry, before I cut you off. The NFL, and all of us viewers of the NFL are going to miss him in the league, watching him go out there and play just to see what's Brady going to do. What can he do? Because he puts eyes, the eyes are on him every week. Just like when LeBron retired, everybody's going to be wishing, damn, we're living in the moment. We're not appreciating enough of the greatness that these guys are doing, like Brady, like LeBron, like what Michael did, you know? And when it's gone, it's gone. And I think it sucks now that he's out, personally.
It sucks, man. I can't say goat or boat for that particular quarterback because, you know what I'm saying, I grew up a Colts fan and grew up in the era of Peyton Manning. But I will say this, man, for what Tom Brady came into the league and did with his career, he maximized what he could do. He worked at his game, you know what I'm saying, folks. He took a chip on his shoulder when he was drafted, damn near to, you know what I'm saying, in the irrelevant rounds of the NFL draft. And like I said, man, he made a spectacular career to where, you know, people – seven Super Bowl rings, man. He went to 10 Super Bowls. You know, again, you can't deny the greatness that is there. You have to just, you know what I'm saying, understand that. And I don't know why more quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, going further should – kind of copy, you know, since it's a copycat league, and you know, she should kind of copy what, you know what I'm saying, what he's done for himself, training regimen, off-season training regimen, and, you know what I'm saying, and practice, you know what I'm saying, practice regimen, what he's done, you know what I mean? So, and thinking in those terms, you know what I'm saying? The TB12 plan, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad he's, you know what I'm saying, relatively clean as far as, like, not putting anything in his body, you know, performance enhancement, never got caught up in any of that type of mischief. That athletes kind of, you know what I'm saying, put themselves to prolong their careers. I'm glad he never got caught in anything like that. I know the Deflategate, you know what I'm saying, with the Patriots and the Colts, you know what I'm saying, that's, you know what I'm saying, the science around that is, you know what I'm saying, did it really matter, you know what I'm saying, or did it really matter that they recorded, you know what I'm saying? But that's the team thing. We're talking about the individual here in Tom Brady. So bit of a sour, you know what I'm saying, you know, note for his career, the breakup between him and the Patriots, you know what I'm saying? You kind of want to see a special aspect like that to end his career with the team that brought him in, you know, brought him into the league and that they made, you know what I'm saying, something special together, right? But, he made amends for not mentioning them, you know what I'm saying, in a Twitter post the next day as far as Boston, because he's a beloved son of Boston. Brandon, he's probably more beloved in Boston in that market, New England market, more so than even Larry Bird, believe it or not. No, you know, it, as a competitor and watching him on Sundays and seeing, like, man, you know, anytime you give him a chance, he's always going to – even when – even in the last couple games, man, I was like, dude, you cannot give him that many chances. You know what I'm saying? Because he's always going to make the right play, you know what I'm saying, and rise to the occasion. Those are the things I come to, you know what I'm saying, if I can say that I appreciate about Tom Brady, that those are things you can appreciate about Tom Brady. And those are things that, like, quarterbacks or any NFL player should kind of go further, they should take from him and try to, you know what I'm saying, make the best out of their careers. That's what I believe. Am I going to be sad that he ain't playing? Absolutely not. I cheered way too much for him in my formative years to say that I'm going to miss him on that. You know, what I'm saying, on that sideline. I don't necessarily cheer for a team, any particular team right now. But again, I cannot deny the greatness that he kind of put together for his career. Now, here's what, Brandon. I know I don't want to dominate the conversation. Now, I don't want nobody to say that. So, like, I almost got caught up in a debate today where somebody was saying that, yeah, he got seven, but Joe Montana's undefeated and Troy Aikman's undefeated. And then the comeback was, well, Joe Montana threw to Jerry Rice and whoever, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, Tom Brady, it's not like Tom Brady didn't have nobody, a running buddy. You know what I'm saying? Gronkowski is probably top – I know it's hard for the – Gronkowski is probably top three all-time tight end. You know what I'm saying? So I would assume – with this Brady announcement, once the, you know, since smoke settles and Super Bowl's over and all that, we'll probably hear about Gronkowski also return. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a guy who left professional football, started wrestling, and then came back and still was just as productive, you know what I'm saying, as he was when he before he left. So right. It's going to be a different NFL, you know what I'm saying, for sure, without those two typical names, you know what I'm saying, being broadcast on Sundays. But you know what I'm saying? The old Colts fan of me is not going to miss him that one bit.
Yeah, and I want to talk about end of an era, John. We've seen it here in the last, what, 4 years, 5 years probably. We've got Tom Brady retiring, Drew Brees retiring, Peyton Manning retired, mm-hmm. Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning. Those six quarterbacks were, if not the face of the NFL, for decades. And now
yeah. –
It's Brady was basically the last of the guard. Well, I mean, I guess you could say Phil Rogers in there. Rogers is probably the last one left. But after that, John, like I said, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss going out watching there, seeing Brady or seeing Breeze or Eli or Peyton or Rivers throw another pick. Hell, even Ben out there.
Oh.
I'm going to miss that era because it was so competitive. Now, I know we've got good quarterbacks now, and the league's in great shape, but
right.
If you look around the league, John, all these quarterbacks I just named kind of have a similar pedigree of passing, the gunslinger, and the leadership around the field. You don't really have too much of that now. Per se, you've got Mahomes, you've got Josh Allen. They're not the same type of player that you have with like a Matthew Stafford. You got Lamar Jackson, what that's going to do. So you have a new era. It's almost like we're kind of wiping the slate clean and saying, okay, here we go. Let's see what we got.
Who's ready to step up? Who's ready to step up and be, you know, saying the future kings of this particular this particular league on the field, kings of this particular league.
Yeah.
That it's kind of up to, I would say, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of up to Patrick Mahomes and, you know what I'm saying, and at that offseason there, there's got to be a big brain meld between, like, dude, what are we doing? I know my contract is front-loaded and all this, that, and other, but, like, what are we doing defensively? You still have to put a competent defense out there.
I feel like we had this previously a little bit when we had Aikman, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, Brett Favre. I know I'm missing names right now, but we had those. We had that, and then it was how many years until we started getting a new guard of all these quarterbacks? It's probably, what, 6, 7, 8, 9 years? So here's the end of another era. What are we expecting? Who do we expect to be those top six next on the – or top four Mount Rushmore for this next era?
For the next
exciting.
Era.
It's exciting.
Right, it's very exciting. Yeah, it's very exciting. So what does that bode, what does that whole well, you know what I'm saying, what does that say about where Russell ends up, you know what I'm saying? Does he stay in Seattle? Does Aaron Rodgers, I know before we got online and talking, people were saying he's going to Denver. I'm like, dude, go to Denver. You might as well stay. I get it. That the Green Bay is cash strapped, but teams have found a way to retain everybody at least for like one more year. You know what I'm saying? I go back to what I said about Brady. Like, I get it. The relationship between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers has been tumultuous, more so on his part, seemingly. You know what I'm saying? He wears his feelings on his collarbone, right? On his sleeve. But, you know, I would hope that he, you know what I'm saying, stays in Green Bay. The kid, you know, they're talking about who's next. Joe Burrow, definitely, you know, man, you feel like he's got next. They got to fix some of the parts of it, but they're right now. They're living in the right now. So the kid with the Chargers, he's got an amazing game. They got to be able to put it together. Coaches got to get out of the way of the play calling sometimes, like what's going on in the field. Because like, if that coach from the Chargers that last game, who they lose to? I think the Raiders was it. You know what I'm saying? If he makes the right call, he called a timeout when they didn't need a timeout. I think that's what was the play. And he basically, you know, saying foupahed their season right there. But they're, you know what I'm saying, the future is bright. It's just like who's ready to, you know what I'm saying, take it to the next level. That'll be the interesting part going into next season.
Yeah. We had a good conversation the other day, John. This is kind of a multi-sport comment. But we had a good conversation the other day. If you had a choice to take one player, one or two players, and if you could wipe away their injuries and see what kind of talent or production they would have done in their time,
I like this one.
Who would it have been? And I had two names for me. One was a selfish name, Ben Roethlisberger. If he didn't have all the 1,000 injuries he had throughout his years, what possibly could he have done? What could he have done longer or whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest one I had, and there's really, it's 1A and 1B. My number 1A is Derrick Rose. If you could take away his hurt, where would we be right now with a D. Rose or in this league? What championships possibly or what MVP awards more could he have won? Would he still be in Chicago? And then the second one, which we're still trying to figure it out, but Zion Williamson. I think those are my main two, with injuries and basically Derrick Rose was number one. But what for you? What would it be if you could take back an injury and see
take
what
back the an injury? The two best players from when I was my formative years, or sorry, like when I was my teenagers in the early 20s, that injury just kind of took away their ability. Would be Penny Hardaway and Grant Hill.
Those two guys,
their first 2-3 seasons were like, you know what I'm saying, you name it, could do whatever, rebound, score, pass, defend, you know what I'm saying, all those things, you know what I'm saying, even, you know what I'm saying, that we saw out of, you know what I'm saying, Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan early in their careers, even LeBron early in their career, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, athleticism, Grant Hill had as much athleticism as LeBron James, he did. He could jump. Maybe not as big. Muscle, you know what I'm saying? Muscle, like LeBron is the different type of guy. You know what I'm saying? But like Grant Hill, athletically, was just, as, you know what I'm saying, it's right up there with LeBron James. Penny Hardaway, from a scoring guard or even point guard standpoint, he played both. He could play basically two backcourt positions, point guard and shooting guard. He also played a little bit of small forward. Think about a more explosive guy like Scottie Pippen. That's what Penny Hardaway was. You know what I'm saying? He could score better than Scottie Pippen, but the ball handling and defense, and like I said, just the injuries just took the sapped with their career away. From a personal standpoint, like one of my favorites, all time favorites, man. Uh oh, got breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news, man. Breaking news via Adam Schefter on Twitter. Jim Harbaugh has called Michigan to inform the school that despite interviewing with the Vikings today, he will be returning to Michigan for the 2022 season, to tell ESPN. Michigan was, in the words of one source, elated to get Harbaugh's decision. So Jim Harbaugh, even though interviewing today with the Vikings, he will be back to Michigan next year. Breaking news.
So, Brandon, what does that, just hearing that, what does that mean to you? I'm going to tell you what it means to me. What does that mean to you?
They didn't want him.
That Minnesota didn't want him?
Yeah.
They maybe didn't want him for his price.
Right.
I think he was looking for a break the bank. You know what I'm saying? When think about when Raiders coach that got fired, John Gruden, they gave him $100 million. So there was a lot of flirtation once the season was over between the Raiders and Jim Harbaugh. That fell through. Now, you know what I'm saying, his name got tossed out between him and Minnesota. Now that's through. So I don't know. Me personally, I don't think they had Jim Harbaugh's price in mind. So he just said, I'm over there. But, like, dude, what does that mean for recruiting? What does that mean about going into next season? Here you was in the top four in the playoffs, and I don't know, man. He took one step for, you know, say two steps forward. I think with this move, man, and this flirtation, off-season flirtation, I think they've taken like three steps back, man. And right now, I like, why, if I'm a kid, why would I commit, if I'm a junior or even a senior right now, why would I commit to Michigan when you know that the coach don't want really want to be there his damn self?
Right. Yeah. Let me tell you this. If the Vikings don't want to pay Harbaugh the money for that job that Harbaugh wants, do you think maybe after next year, if things don't happen in Big D, that Jerry doesn't throw it?
For Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Nah. Nah. Oh, man. No, not for Jim Harbaugh. No. I think, Brandon, that would be real spicy. I think if things fall apart in Dallas, as they could, you know what I'm saying, next season, I think Dan Quinn takes over the lead there. And they move on from McCarthy, and then Dan Quinn comes down from being offensive coordinator to being the head coach.
You don't think Sean Payton would think about going back with Jerry?
Sean Payton, I mean, nothing against older guys. Sean Payton's getting a little bit longer in the tooth, you know what I'm saying? How much more does he have, you know what I'm saying, does he want to put into, you know what I'm saying, into a team? His name will obviously come up. I don't want to say that, you know what I'm saying, say it won't, but I can say I think Dan Quinn, he could probably get a head coach job, you know what I'm saying, some of these jobs that got taken between Miami and the Giants. You know what I'm saying, I think his name was tied to some of those as far as interviews are concerned. But he, you know what I'm saying, chose to stay with Dallas. I think he knows there's a potential succession plan for him if he stays there.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off earlier. Shefty puts the breaking news out.
That was pretty much it, man. I like the only other guy for college, man.
That's another one. Tracy McGrady for sure.
Well, McGrady had his turn. I was going to say a little bit closer to home, man. I was going to say my guy who's got his number put up in Notre Dame, LaPhonso Ellis, another guy that, you know, some injuries, you know, saying kind of took his injury. I know people don't think him as you know, saying all time great or anything like that. If you look at his stats, he played with Denver, but yeah, he has some bad knees, you know what I'm saying? Tim Hardaway is another guy, bad knees, took his career away a little bit too, you know what I'm saying, too soon. So, but yeah, no, there's really no wrong answer here at all.
Okay, John, I want to play a quick sound clip from today. It's college football related. Jimbo Fisher. I'm going to play it from the computer, so I'm hoping everybody will be able to hear it. Jimbo Fisher teeing off on Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban, college football writers, and the internet, and everyone saying that A&M is buying recruits with the NIL money. So here you go.
Oh,
you kind of
okay.
Flat face or whatever when there's these thoughts out there.
Very.
It's because a lot of money is being spent, and just your
thoughts. Here's what I'm going to say, and this is point blank. This is point blank to the, because here's my problem. There is no $30 million fund. There is no $5 million. There is no $10 million. This is garbage, okay? And it does. It pisses me off that people, and here it comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Sliced Bread, and everybody runs with it. So it's written on the internet. It's gospel. How irresponsible is that? You got, I'm going to tell you, there's some very reputable writers in college football and sports that wrote it and have said it and have done things. That's unbelievable to me. When I first heard it, I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, what a clown. I mean, I didn't even think anything of it because I don't have social media. And it kept building, and lately I've heard more about it. To me, it's insulting to the players that we recruited that that's why they would come here. You ever been to a game here? You ever come to school here and see the education? You ever talk about the 12th man, the Aggie Network when you're done? There ain't a better university in this country. And it's insulting to what you say. And all these, and we got writers who have said it and done it off sliced bread. A guy named Sly who made it up. Love to see who sliced bread is and put it out there with sliced bread. Let me find out where it comes from. And then to have coaches in our league and across this league to say it, clown act. All right? Irresponsible as hell. Multiple coaches in our league. And the guy's griping about NIL, griping about transfer portal, using it the most and bragging about it the most. That's the ironic part.
Lane Kiffin.
You want character? I'll take it with any of y'all. It's a joke.
Mm.
It does piss me off. The other thing, when you look at vice president, I get another one. Vice president of Notre Dame. Supposed to be at Rutgers University, right? That's a heck of a person leading Rutgers University.
Uh-oh.
I'd be real proud if I hired that guy. Read it off sliced bread. But they say it because it's written on the internet. We worry about the kids and social media and internet. How about grown-ups? How about the guys that are supposed to be setting an example? How about writers who are supposed to be writing the right thing? How about coaches who are supposed to be doing the right thing? And I'll tell you what, I know how some of those guys recruit too. Don't dig into that. I know the history. I know the tradition. I know things. Trust me, you don't want to go down that avenue. It's irresponsible. It's unbelievable. I ain't just talking about one. Multiple people got NIL issues.
Jimbo's.
It's funny. When Nick Saban said his quarterback got an $800,000 deal, it was wonderful. Now it ain't wonderful no more, huh? But ours, we ain't got that. Ours are on record what comes up. We ain't doing all them big deals. Ain't none on our place we know of. That's funny when you do it. It's hypocrite. And then we gripe about the transfer portal, and you guys take more than everybody. What's about that? And what goes on? The hypocrisy is a joke. It's an absolute joke, and it's insulting to our staff, how hard we work, to how we do things. It's insulting to Texas A&M because there ain't a better place to go to school and play ball. We don't like it. We're coming on. Get used to it. All right? We ain't going nowhere.
Wow. So, John, Jimbo going in on people today.
My man's fired up. Some of the things sounds really familiar, like what Dabo was saying about NOL and about recruits going this way and that way. It is what it is, man. You know, coaches and programs always stole players from one another. And now that he kind of said it, now that we have the internet and everything is splashed on Twitter, and everything splashed on whatever social media site, TikTok, whatever, you know what I'm saying, site you use, you know what I'm saying, things kind of get blown up. He's going to have to figure out a way to manage it. I love me a good tirade. I do. But he's going to have to figure out a way how to manage it and kind of use it to your advantage. You know what I'm saying? But I feel his pain. I do. But he's also been, you know, very beneficial. He's also been very beneficial.
He got information on Kiffin and Saban. Uh-oh. Look out for those SEC games next year. also, real quick, a follow-up with Harbaugh. Harbaugh told Ward Manuel that this would not be a reoccurring issue and that he would stay at Michigan as long as the school wanted him now.
Uh-oh. Can't hit. Give me a raise.
Yeah. All about the money. Let's bring our guy on. Here we go. Sweet Lou, what's going on?
Hey, fellas, how are you?
Good. Yourself?
Doing all right.
We love checking in.
All right. Yeah. Well, I got half right my prediction. I got the Rams in, but I didn't think the Bengals. Who would have thought that? After one of the greatest choke signals of all time. Okay.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
You let it get away, man. You let it get away. You had the game in the bag, and then all of a sudden, that's what happened.
That it did. Yeah. Hey, what's the vibe up there in the upper New York area with the news with Brian Daboll being named the Giants coach and then the Flores issue, and what's the heartbeat up there?
Well, there has been much said, but there was talk of the former Bills offensive coordinator is going to be the is going to be on the stack with the Giants with him. So that's what happened today. There hasn't been too much buzz, Louis, because the Giants have been the worst team in the last 10 years over the span. So there's a lot of disgruntlement right now. You know, they've lost three coaches in a row that have less than 2 years. So there's hardly really anything to be happy about right now with Big Blue.
Right.
Gang Green isn't much better.
John, what you got for him?
Sweet Lou, what's going on? What sorry, Brandon, you put me on.
So, I mean, you know, the Giants have not been, you know,
I just lost John.
The same Giants at least.
Yeah.
You know, they have not been the same team the last 5-10 years.
Right. Yeah, and you got to think they have some hope now with this. I'm questioning the fact that this coach likes Daniel Jones. I thought they would kind of be at the point to go away from him, but he likes him. He's going to work with him, so maybe it's a 1-year trial to see how he goes with him.
Yeah, and like it or not, Jones is expected to be the quarterback for next season, even though he hasn't done anything in the time he's been here.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. Looks like we got John back. John, we lost you.
No, yeah, I do. I went for my notes, man. I was going to ask Sweet Lou, man. We asked him about Flores. I want to ask him more so about what he thinks about the Super Bowl and the matchup between the Rams and the Bengals. Who you got winning that particular game?
Rams by 7. I mean, it's a miracle that the Bengals even got here after the season they've been having. And we managed to pull it out. I knew it was a better season than they did last year, but I didn't think
right.
It was going to carry this far. Especially the way it went down. I mean, when you look at the first half of the game, you probably thought, lock it in. The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes is going to try for a second title. And then the bottom fell out.
Yeah, did it.
Just like that. When they,
so you know,
right at the end of the second quarter is when I think I started in with a change in the game. And like, okay, this could be a turning point in the game right now. And behold, became that.
So you say Rams by 7. It's not like the Rams have been playing, you know, necessarily lights out football. But what particularly you like the defense of the Rams better, or do you like this is the better overall team? Like off, you think you know what I'm saying the offense better?
I think the better overall team.
Okay.
Especially when you got you know your latest addition who Stafford. You know, I think Stafford brought some life into that team. I mean, he did only cook for Detroit. I mean, he is a good player, but he was on just a lousy team for those years. But he has really
right.
Stepped up to give the Rams some life and, you know, make them contenders.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you, before you ask questions, I got to ask you, what is it going to take for Gotham to get to this point, whether the Jets or the Giants? And I know maybe I kind of touched on that before I got lost my phone call. What's it going to take for the Jets or the Giants to get, maybe not to the levels of the Cincinnati Bengals this year, but maybe to the levels of at least, you know what I'm saying, respectability. What's it going to take for either one of those particular teams, Giants or Jets?
Jets need to work on their defense because they don't really have any. So they're going to have to work on their running game as well. You know,
right.
Don't always try to sell for the number one draft pick because that is not getting us anywhere. You know, we've tried, you know, over and over again taking the best ones for the draft pick and thinking they're going to, you know, be our savior. It hasn't happened so far. So,
right.
We
need
to get other
right.
Yeah. We need more than that. We just can't rely on always getting the number one draft pick. It doesn't work that way, people.
Right.
Okay.
Sweet Lou, you want to give your plug real quick? We're running a little short on time.
All right, it's called WhyCan'tTheJetsCan'tWin.com, a.k.a. The Enhanced Sports Show. The number to call is 512-543-4662. Number again, 512-543-4662. You know we're going to be discussing the recap of the championship games. We'll take a look at who your Super Bowl picks are, for one. We'll wrap up the men's Australian Open. We will tackle some USFL football since that's coming up. Even look at the Olympics because the Olympics are starting now as we speak. minus the opening ceremony. So we'll touch on that. And a little bit on the NHL and NBA All-Star Games. So if you got time on Saturday, give a call, 512-543-4662. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. And remember, folks, that's East Coast time.
Appreciate it, Lou.
In case something you always forget.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks.
All right, John, that's sweet Lou, our guy. Battling out over to the association. Pacers, Sabonis is out with COVID protocols. Pacers are beating the Magic right now. We can't seem to – we won the game the other night. We probably can't – we're even stupid at tanking right now to improve our draft stock. I don't think we're going to do a trade rumor. I just hate talking about the Pacers when right now it's the same old stuff and there's no real new information. We don't really have – you know, any, there's no insight. The owner's not talking. Kevin Pritchard hasn't talked in how many months. All we keep seeing is there's trade rumors about the Wizards wanting Sabonis, and the best we're going to get back is Spencer Dinwiddie. Come on.
Yeah.
Thinking of the Wizards, Bradley Beal and maybe Ben Simmons deal might be reached between Philly and Washington.
That is, I mean, that's on the table, yeah.
Yeah.
The Washington Wizards are kind of going nowhere, and they got, you know, saying guys, so they're still kind of, you know, saying they've been anywhere as high as two in the East this season, and I think now they're right outside of the playoffs. They're in the play-in. I think they're like ninth or tenth right now. As far as the Pacers is concerned, I said it 2 weeks ago. The Pacers are not going to trade anybody. I talked off air. With the Scott K. Nichols, you know what I'm saying, sponsor of the show. He said, you know what I'm saying, looking at the Pacers from his lens, it'd be good to see them healthy, to see what that team would be, you know what I'm saying, or could be. Still needs, you know what I'm saying, still needs a guy to finish games, you know what I'm saying, but it, you know what I'm saying, you think about it, they're still somewhat of a mass unit, and you know what I'm saying, they do need to, you know what I'm saying, if you got part-time players, you know what I'm saying, due to health or due to the mental incapability of being out there on the floor, then you need to, you know, sever ties with them when you can in the off season. But, again, there'd probably be better deals in the off season, not right now. You tell me a two-time All-Star for Spencer Dinwiddie because the contracts match up? No, that's not that. Kevin Pritchard would make that trade. He might as well sign his walking papers, too, if he was to send them some bonus for that particular deal. So I haven't had necessarily my – There's a little bit of talk out in L.A. about potentially moving Westbrook to the Knicks, maybe, so that anybody don't say Jonathan Birdsong said that Westbrook is getting traded to the Knicks or anything like that. But it has been floated out there, you know what I'm saying, the idea anyway. But I haven't heard too many blockbuster trades that are gonna, you know what I'm saying, shake the foundation of the NBA. The Golden State Warriors are kind of going to stay pat, seemingly, with what they have. Phoenix is, you know, saying, they're the number
one. A fake name forever. Just, you're a fraud. Just stop.
Phoenix is going to stand pat. They're the best team in the league right now, record-wise. They're going to stay with what they have. I think there might be a couple trades where a Marcus Smart might get moved, or even, like I said, like the one you alluded to, Bradley Beal, because Philadelphia – feels the need that they need to have another pretty perimeter score to go with what they have right now. I think the Philadelphia 76ers are like, what, fifth or sixth right now in the East, something like that. You know what I mean? But there's really no big blockbuster move where, you know what I'm saying, this guy's going over to move the needle for anybody. Teams are going into what they have right now. What we see teams in right now is what we're going to see teams after the All-Star break have.
Right. Okay. What else do I have? College basketball, John. Auburn, true number one team, blew out Alabama last night. Just beat them by 20. Texas A&M had a huge win over Chris Beard in Texas. The atmosphere was electric for that game last night. That was really, really good to see. Boilermakers, big win over the weekend. And then obviously right now they're actually up by 12 right now. They were up by 18 on
there
Minnesota. So the Boilers are going to halftime with a lead. They're back to number four in the country. On our brackets, we do have them back as number one seed. Me and Nick Peterson, our college basketball guy, will be putting out our first bracket this Saturday together and submitting it to Bracket Matrix. It is that season, and we will be getting Nick on as well as we get close to the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament time, which is great. Kentucky, John. Kentucky had a huge win. They're up to number 5 now in the poll, right behind Purdue. The silent assassins, I call them, Kentucky. Where they've been all year, they've been around that 11-10 mark, 11-10 and 9 in the rankings. They're up to number 5. I have a question for you regarding a team that we thought was going to do some damage this year, but we haven't gelled with injuries and just the flow of the team. The coaches have been cussing and yelling at press conferences. Memphis. Imani Bates' dad is talking about his concerns about his son returning to Memphis the rest of this year because of a, quote, back injury. Apparently, the injury might not be as bad, and he just wants to prepare his son for the league. Man, if it could go to Memphis, it has with this now.
Imani Bates' dad, of course, his father's going to be his best representation. But his dad better remember that Imani Bates can't turn pro because he won't be 19 when the NFL when the NBA draft starts. So either Imani Bates has to go back to school or transfer to another school, or he has to basically kind of sit out until he turns 19 and maybe he'll look up with a G League affiliate and then potentially get drafted the following year. That's the problem with going into college basketball. Again, all those coaches, their job is to win games, not to prepare you for your next step. But their number one job is to win games right here at this level. If you can't excel at this level, you know what I'm saying? What makes a kid think, or even a parent of said kid, think their kid's going to excel at the next level?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Again, there's a little bit of difference between college basketball rules and the NBA, but my goodness, Brandon, the regulation of course still the same, right? You know what I'm saying? Conditioning the NBA is twice as, you have to commit to it. You know what I'm saying? Defense is a little bit different, you know what I'm saying? But I, again, I'm not trying to crap on Imani Bates' hopes and dreams here or anything like that. He had a hard time, you know what I'm saying? Again, he showed a lot of, high-level potential to play, you know what I'm saying, at the age of 15, and people got, you know what I'm saying, got all the feels and chills and thinking that this was the next LeBron. And, sometimes guys, I'm not saying peak, but some guys just kind of plateau, and they're potentially just going to be regular guys, regular NBA players, you know what I mean? And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Regular NBA, Brandon, tell me right if I'm wrong, regular NBA players make $10 million a year. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know about, Coach Hardaway's job is to win games. And right now, he's got a lot of 4-star and 5-star guys and McDonald's All-Americans, and they're not necessarily – I think they're right around 500 or so right now. But I think they kind of turned it up. In the second half of this season, they make the tournament. Where do they get to a Final Four? I don't think they're that good. There's too many other teams like that we kind of talked about in the first segment started. They're way far more advanced than them. Auburn, Gonzaga, Purdue, Kentucky, Baylor and Duke. All those teams are still going to be there in the Sweet 16. And hell, this is technically still a down year for the ACC when the only ACC team in the top 25 is Duke. But North Carolina is 12-0 at home. You know what I'm saying? This is the kind of parity we have this year in college basketball. You know, Iona, a team like that, they're 10-0. You know what I'm saying? And be a spoiler for somebody. But again, there's a lot of teams right now that are just a little bit better than Memphis. And in regards to what talent they have, five-star, 4-star, McDonald's All-Americans on whatever team, if you can't bring it night after night, what makes you think you're going to be able to bring it out after night on the NBA level? At the collegiate level. So, I don't know. I'm kind of amped up. I'm a believer right now, Brandon. I know 3 weeks ago you were telling me about Auburn. I was like, let me see. They gave Ruth Pearl, 50-some million dollars.
bag.
They've kind of run with it, man. Auburn, you have to believe in Auburn. They've blown out Bama twice, and this is a Bama team that was not as good as it was last year, but definitely a Bama team that is going to be, like, I mean, if I could name top, you know, say 16 teams that I think will be in the Sweet 16, I think Bama is it might potentially be there. You know, so they're tournament type of team that's tournament prepared. I'm kind of Auburn. They beat Bama. They hit 5 threes. They scored 100 points, and when they beat Bama, they run up tempo. They're that darn good. You know,
I told you, so, man.
Yeah, you did. You did. So you know, saying college basketball, you know, saying it's not going to be the names that we are accustomed to winning this year. I think, you know what I'm saying, a lot of teams will still make the tournament. Florida State will make the tournament. You know what I'm saying? North Carolina, I think, makes the tournament. You know what I'm saying? USC makes the tournament. But I think whoever cuts down the net this year potentially will not be a blue blood. It'll be a new blood.
Okay. We got 6 minutes left, and our part-timer's calling in, John, so I'll let you take it. D-Cot.
Oh, wow. Hey, guys.
He's alive.
Today's been a day from hell, man. I'm still working, man. But I looked at the clock and said, shoot, I hadn't called in. So I had to squeeze in a little bit, man. Hey, I haven't had an opportunity to listen to the show, so I don't know what the topics you guys are hitting. Probably college hoops or maybe some of the championship football from last weekend, I'm guessing, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was kind of hit a little bit, not crazy, was you know, the Tom Brady retiring is fine. But I want to talk about Flores. I don't know how much of that you all have talked about, but I'm seeing reports. More coaches have talked about that, and that's happened in from their ownership and everything. And I think this is going to blow a lot of the NFL leadership and brass out of the water, because I think there's a lot of truth to it, and I think he realizes what. This Pandora's box he's opened, and I think he realizes the impact of his coaching future by doing what he's done. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, without going too windy, because we got 5 minutes left, we talked 45 minutes about it earlier, so go back and listen to that.
I'll listen to the show. Don't worry then. I'll listen to the show.
We went 45 minutes strong on it.
Okay, cool. So listen. Went to the Pacer game, saw the boys this past week against the Clippers. Obviously got the win. But I feel like I'm at a semi-pro game because you see guys out there that are playing because of COVID, playing because so many guys. I'm talking about all teams. I'm not talking about just Pacers. It's just not the strongest product, which means those teams, those higher echelon teams, I just think the road is going to be – as easy as it's ever been for the high echelon teams, New Jersey Nets, Milwaukee Bucks, Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors. I think that combination, those are the teams right there. I just think it's almost a no-brainer. Well, and Miami's a nice team, but they can't beat Milwaukee.
I can't refute that right now, even with the short time that we have. I do like – I kind of just said before you came on, I like Phoenix. I kind of like Phoenix to kind of, you know what I'm saying, I think they need to put Chris Paul in the bubble after All-Star break because he's known to break down. Right now, they're the team to beat. And I kind of got them winning the West, if not at all, if not the whole thing.
Yeah, same here, man. I hate that call late. I'm sorry. I promise you guys, next week my workflow is going to be a little bit more reduced, so I should be able to hit in earlier. Get a little bit more run and everything. We can talk about some different stuff, but hey, you know, still love the show. I am going to go back and listen for sure. Was that the beginning of the show when you all had the 45 minutes on Flores?
It was in the middle, probably about 20, 25 minutes in. We reviewed the first, the AFC and NFC championship, and then we got into
it. Okay. Awesome. Good stuff, man. I appreciate it. And hey, Jonathan, I'm still messaging you because again, I'm still 18 minutes away. And I forgot to come kidnap you after this blizzard we have over the next couple of days. I may have to do that, man.
Cool, man. We'll do that.
All right. You guys be safe, man. Have a good night.
Thanks for calling.
All right. D-Cot. I love D-Cot. I do. We didn't have no time.
Hard time.
Go back. open up that all over again.
Right.
Good news is you can go back to it. John, I get real quick. Jimmy G, next spot, real quick.
Where does he land at? Somewhere
yep.
warm, Brandon. Somewhere warm and sunny.
Miami.
I said sunny.
Pittsburgh.
He ends up somewhere. I think he, no, sir.
New Orleans.
No, warm and sunny. It's warm down there. I think he ends up somewhere warm and sunny. One of the Florida teams, if not New Orleans, for sure.
Perfect. I'll let you wrap it, my man.
Dude, we had a great show tonight, man. We had great interactions. I want to thank Mike Kelly and Reggie and Decott and Sweet Lou calling in. I want to thank, you know, saying all the folks, Justin Powell, for chiming in on the Facebook Live. Dude, how can I forget our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Three Wiseman, Amazon Delivery, and Mavericks Cups and Motorsports. How could we do the show without them? We had a fantastic show. I'm sorry we didn't have enough time. We're going to work on that, maybe pick up another hour, you know, and maybe pick up another couple of sponsors so we can pay for them to said hour. But, like, nah, man, all jokes aside, we had a great show tonight. If you listen to my voice and if you haven't called in the show or chimed in on the Facebook Live, why haven't you? That's why I asked you. So, again, until next week. I'm Jonathan Burson. That's Brandon J. Reese. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.